Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Miss Julie.
Good morning, Miss Laurie. How are you?
How the hell are you?
Good, good. A little crazy this week, but good crazy, you know. How about you?
Yeah, same way, same thing. It is and it isn't for me because, as I think I've said before, my son is vacationing with his grandparents, my older son, so I will not see him. And my younger guy will not be here for Thanksgiving until the day after because he's with his fiance and her family on Thanksgiving. And so they're coming home on Friday morning, the day after. So I will have a quiet Thanksgiving. Meyer and I are going out to dinner at Mondano, which is the new restaurant in Old Forge. And it's where the old Lou's Blue Room used to be, and Billy G's was there. And now it is the home of Mondano, and Chef Al will do the cooking, and Dominic Sadie is involved in this wonderful restaurant. So we look forward. Meyer and I are going out. It's only the second time in my life that I've gone out on to dinner for Thanksgiving. We decided to give it a shot. And since it's just the two of us, we would do that. And then we're going to a friend's for dessert afterwards. So we have that. And then the next day we'll start with Sean and Katie coming in and lots of things happening. And then we are going, which I think I had said before, but bears repeating, that we will be at the Branson Cultural Center Irish Tenor event, which is Saturday after Thanksgiving, the day you're listening to us. And we will go there as a family. We're up in the box. Eight of us are going, and it's going to be a fun night. So, looking forward to that. And then just, you know, planning and food and goodies and just what you do on a Thanksgiving weekend. So it's we're going to have a good time, and that's what our plan. So a little less. I was up buying some apples. The last two weekends, I went during the week, and then the weekend before, Meyer and I took a ride up to Ritter's Cider Mill on Wimmer's Road and in Jefferson Township, and it is. And I know that the lot goes on in the summer for kids and everything, but going in there and looking at all of the variety of apples that they have is amazing. It's just amazing, Julie. You walk in and they're in these big wooden crates, and like it's a, you know, I don't even know what the square footage would be, but they're big crates, and then you pick the apples you want, and they have all different size baskets, bushels, whatever they are, and you take them and you fill whatever size you get with the apples and then take it up. They have their cider and cider donuts and cinnamon sugar donuts and homemade pies and jellies and jams and honey, local honey, and it looks like a farm stand, which is what it should look like, and it's great. And so I'm madly in love with the honey, not why I love Honey Crisp, but this one's called Ever Crisp. And it's a combination of apples, and they're absolutely delicious. They're sweet and they're crisp and they're real, like they're hard, so they're not mushy at all, which I can't stand unless it's in a pie. And they're so good, and I love them. And you know that old line, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So they're just it's just a great place to go. I was so thrilled, and so I went back. We've gone now 2 weeks in a row, and I love it. A friend of mine, my good buddy, Mr. Doug Smith, the bassist extraordinaire, he goes, and he used to get me, he'd say, I'm going to Ritter's, you want apples? I said, of course I do. So he would bring apples, for me from there, and he loves his cherry crumb pie that he gets all the time from Ritter's. But they just, I saw the other day we were there, they had homemade pumpkin roll, which of course is one of my faves, but of course I can't just buy it because it's not gluten-free. Right. But my niece, Tara Foley, who is a young lawyer, and she works for Judge Corbett, and she is gluten-free as well, and she makes a phenomenal homemade pumpkin roll. I don't know how she does it. She's incredible. I said, Tara, I wish you would open a gluten-free bakery here because you are spot on. Her pies, everything she makes. But anyway, everything they made, it looks delicious, and I'm sure it is, but the apples, the cider, which I can have and do enjoy, are delicious. So if you do yourself a favor, take a ride up. I think they're open every day through sometime this month, in the month of December, and get your apples, your cider. Just take a ride. It's a beautiful little ride. And the farmer's market officially closes now. Julia closed. We're taping Wednesday, so it closes today. It always does, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving in North Scranton, and that's going to be closed now and has been going since the middle of July. And that's always a great place to go and get your goodies, as we've talked about in the past. And I want to give another big shout-out, Jewel, because we talk about all these farmers markets. And we had our dear friend Michelle Lacoe on months ago, and she's over on Courthouse Square, which, again, ties back into what we will talk about later, the festivities that will be happening with Maureen McGuigan on Courthouse Square. And our dear Michelle is there every Thursday and a couple other places during the week when the weather is, when she can, and she's worked so hard. And I am amazed. I just am amazed, Julie, and I continue to be, at the work that farmers do and shows and stuff that I watch on TV. I just love how they're so spotlighted for the last couple of years, and it makes you wonder and marvel at the work that gets done. Like even watching cooking shows, Julie, which I so often watch. I love to watch them on the Food Network. Sure. And you have Reed Drummond and her, cattle ranching farm and her family. And then you have Molly Yeh, whose husband is a beet farmer on the North Dakota Wisconsin border, and like they talk about it. They're, of course, they're not local, but the point is that the work that's involved, and just the type of living and that regimentation and the season and weather permit, how the weather plays a part. It's just amazing to me how this all works and how it goes. But I'm sure that feeling they get when something is grown from the ground and then, harvested and presented to you is just, to me, it's amazing how these things work. Whether it's a flower or something you eat, it's amazing to me. It never ceases to amaze me when I watch it. I don't care if I watch it over and over and see the work that's done and how the hard work that these farmers do to produce what we enjoy. And I think for the most part, I always just took for granted it's here, it's what it is. But man, when you really think of the mechanics that go into this, Julie, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is, and we're so lucky that we are surrounded by farms in this area. How unique is that, just 10 minutes away from us, we have this booming agricultural industry, and I have to say, there is nothing like the quality and the nutritional value that you get from farm fresh food.
Doesn't
compare to anything else. I will never eat a grocery store egg again. I think I've said that to you before. There's no comparison between the eggs that I get from the farmer's market and grocery store eggs. They have such great flavor. The yolks are a deep orange because they're filled with nutrients. You just are getting a much better quality product at very reasonable prices, too. It's a win-win when you do that. And I'm glad we're talking about this because I think we kind of have a shop local, support local theme this week. And
yep.
That goes along with the local farm fresh food. So
yes, yes, absolutely.
It's a big shopping weekend. Yeah.
Right, and that's why I'm saying it to, you know, go and support these farmers, because the farmers market is gone now till next July, and then but you still can get apples and different things like that, and that's why I brought it. It all ties into what you will be hearing from the lovely Rachel Frondudi at the Cultural Center and what they're presenting, and Maureen McGuigan and what the county presents, and local businesses. Whether it's crafts, arts, or food, we are presenting them. They are presenting all of these people to you, for you to go by and see what they have. One is a fundraiser. One is done through the Arts and Culture Department at the County of Lackawanna. And again, we'll say this in the conversation with Maureen, but it is so important to understand that it's your tax dollars at work here. These are the things and that work for this community, and having, you know, one of only out of all 67 counties in the state of Pennsylvania, that Lackawanna County has the arts tax that benefits local artists and puts it on. And again, it's where creativity lives. There lives everything else. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So support the arts, support the farmers, support the local stores and small businesses, and shout out to Scranton Tomorrow, Julian, that wonderful piece in the paper today for the Deck the Downtown. So congratulations to you and to Scranton Tomorrow on all the wonderful work they're doing to make the downtown a festive place to be. And you'll hear more about that coming up in the next two segments with Rachel Frondudi, Scranton Cultural Center, and Maureen McGuigan of the County of Lackawanna. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me again, as usual, my sidekick, Miss Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And Julie can tell you best what she can do for you and or your business or nonprofit.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
Yay, Jewel. And with us is the lovely, and I had the pleasure of working with for many years, Miss Rachel mm-hmm. Frondudi, who is the marketing manager at the wonderful and beautiful Scranton Cultural Center. Rachel's going to join us, is joining us, so she can tell us a little bit or a lot of bit about mm-hmm. Buy Local, which is coming up where you're listening to us on Saturday morning, and this will happen on Sunday, the next day. The Buy Local program has been going on. Event has been happening at the Cultural Center for how many years, Rach?
This is our 12th show.
Whoa. So 12 years, it's a long time to keep something going, and it's filled. It's four to, I don't know if it's in the lower level, Rachel's going to tell us, but it's at minimum, you know, it takes over the cultural center and the vendors and selling mm-hmm. their wares so that people can come right during that busy Thanksgiving holiday and take some time to do some shopping and have a good time with all the other vendors and the people who were there, and it'll just be a lot of fun. So, Rachel, go right ahead, honey, and tell us all about your event that's happening for the 12th event. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah.
First of all, thanks for joining us.
We had a couple of years that we missed, but
I know,
yeah,
with COVID
going
and stuff,
strong.
Right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. But
yeah.
I think once we came back from that, it's almost stronger than ever. I think
yeah.
that a lot of people really honed their crafts during that time and really ramped things up, because the response that we get for vendor application is really, it's out of this world. When I had to tell people who was selected this year, I essentially had enough applications that we could have filled our entire building twice. And to put that into perspective, we use all five floors for this show, and we have just over 95 vendors. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's certainly a lot of... Yeah, a lot of work to try and pick through all of the talented vendors that apply to be part of our show.
So then do you grade them, Rach? Like if they're, if you really want them but there's no room, do they get, are there categories that you can almost jury them, or how do you select who gets in? Is it first come, first serve, what your need is, how many of one thing you have, or is it just sort of throw it up in the air and cross your fingers and see who lands? How does it happen?
It's kind of a mix of that. It is a juried show, so every application that comes through is thoroughly reviewed. We obviously have many returning vendors who have been with us for years and years, so they kind of get an early application window to get where mm-hmm. they, you know, get their spots. And then I kind of have to lay everyone out to see how many spaces I have left. And then from there, I kind of have to evaluate what we already have, because I certainly, you know, obviously 95 plus different businesses is a lot of businesses, but
right.
we want to make sure that they are varied for the benefit of not only the customer, but also the businesses, because you don't want
right.
them to be competing too much within their own events,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
So it
yep.
really is a matter of figuring out where the gaps are. A lot of weight goes into handmade goods. We don't require everything to be handmade, but it really, we are kind of trending that the majority of the items really are handmade. Our show has evolved in that aspect throughout the years. Certainly there's many times each year when there's just a really unique vendor that comes across my desk that I instantly know we don't have anything like that. It's something I haven't seen, and it fits within, you know, the style and the caliber of our show. So those are always great when it's an easy yes, that you know it's someone that would be a great fit. But oftentimes it really comes down to a lot of discernment that myself and other staff members at the SDC are taking a good solid look at what people are offering and making sure that we don't have it already represented at our show.
So Rach, do you think that there's a possibility? I mean, could this be something that turns into a two-day event where someone else gets an opportunity and you have that, or does that, is the one-day thing because of the programming and everything else that goes on, is it just not the right time, or could it be another weekend, or what do you think you're going to do about that? Because, I mean, that's business left
yeah.
on the table, so to speak, right? I mean, is there any thought of the possibility, even you probably don't want to say it if it's because you don't know for sure, but I mean, clearly that must be crossing your minds, right? Like you do so well with it, should we do another day with other vendors?
Yeah, it certainly is something that has come up from time to time, both internally and from vendor perspective. There is certainly a lot of mixed feelings on it. It's a busy weekend. There are a lot of
yeah.
our vendors that also have storefronts, so they're also doing things, on their home turf for Small Business
True.
Saturday. So, and,
yep.
and oftentimes, obviously, you know, the Cultural Center, we also are an event venue, so there's many times where we have a
yeah.
wedding the night before,
uh-huh.
which is, that's
yep.
always a popular wedding weekend because a lot of people are home for the holidays. So it would be tough for us to block our building off for 2 days in a row. I'm lucky
yes.
if I get early load in the day before.
Yeah, I know. You know what, Rachel, and it's really difficult, but I think, you know, you just hit a point that I think we need to drive home here, since this is the Cultural Center. The work that gets done from a standpoint of turning over one event
oh my gosh, yeah.
to a next, is unbelievable, the work
mm-hmm.
that both the staff and a lot of times the union, the IATSE union, who are so wonderful with the work they do at the Cultural Center, not just because, you know, a play is coming in and it's an equity play and this has to be done, but the fact that the Cultural Center is a union house. These people, you know, and there's so many people who are part of that union, both men and women, and the things they do. To me, it's amazing how much work gets done from a turnover. And just even if you take the union out, you got your staff, I mean, which is limited
mm-hmm.
anyway, and you're
right.
turning that over to have that set and ready for another function, sometimes within hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking even with floors.
Right. And with this event, like, there's almost always some sort of a flip that happens the night before. Like this year, mm-hmm. we have a concert in the evening on the on the 30th. It's less invasive into the ballroom as opposed to a wedding. But the thing that always gets me, too, is by the time the event runs until 4 p.m., I'm usually there until about 6 when all the vendors have loaded out.
Are gone.
And pretty much mm-hmm. by the time that I'm leaving, 2 hours after the event closed, almost the entire building is back to neutral.
I know.
So there may still be some cleaning up to do, a little, maybe some furniture that needs to go back into its normal spots, but it's pretty much back to business as usual within 2 hours after the entire yes. building being filled mm-hmm. with businesses and thousands of shoppers, and then yep. we're just back to square one.
Right, and which I think is so important for people to understand, because that the place is just a constant movement and constant things happening. It's never ending. So, Rachel, tell everybody, too, the times that it is. And the other thing is, does everybody get the same square footage of where they are, or does it depend on what their need is? What do you offer them? What can they bring their own stuff? And obviously they bring their own displays. How does that work?
Right. The spaces are approximately 10 by 10. However, there are some spaces that do kind of vary depending on what you need. So if your vendor setup is a big U-shape footprint that you need your whole 10 by 10, I obviously take that into account and make sure you get the space that you need. There are other vendors who their display is much smaller and it's just a single table. So they may have a little bit of a smaller space because they have less to accommodate. So that's something that also does come into play when I'm selecting vendors, is I have to, at this point, because the response is so high, I really do have to lay everything out and see what spaces I have left and what those footprints are, because I have to make sure I have the footprint that fits the vendor
right.
available.
Yeah, so there's tons of logistics that go into this. And what are the hours? What are the hours and the price, Rach?
Yeah, so it's Sunday, December 1st at the Scranton Cultural Center and will be open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is a $4 admission charge that gets you in the door, and the proceeds for that do benefit the Cultural Center. This is, you know, in theory, a fundraiser for us. It's one of our biggest financial generators of our programming. And we will have, I think it's 97 vendors is our technical total, and it will be on 5 floors of our building, all of which are accessible via elevator. We also have a stairwell that runs the whole distance, so whatever your preference is, we have you covered. And then the first 1,000 shoppers will get a free reusable shopping bag from our sponsor, People's Security Bank and Trust. And just to put that into perspective, those are usually gone in about the first hour.
Yeah, I know.
So we normally have quite the rush at the beginning of the event. So I know last year we were wrapped around the corner past the library with people waiting to get in.
Wow.
So.
Well, it's always a fun event, and there's always so many things. And Rachel, what I like what you said about this is that you look for different, it's not a requirement, but, you know, that folk arty, you know, handmade, I did this myself kind of thing is always, or I made this myself, or I baked this, or I did, because there are mm-hmm. food items too, Rachel. It's not just crafts, mm-hmm. arts and crafts. You have things that you can take that people love and that are available for people to give as gifts from the food end of things. And speaking of food, you also have you guys have things for sale too. So if someone wants to have a drink or eat, the cultural center's side of that is available too, right, Rach?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people just make a little afternoon of it, and they come, and our food station is set up on the second floor, so you're kind of right in the middle, whether you start at the bottom and go up or start at the top and go down. It's a nice little mm-hmm. kind of halfway point to take a little break and have a cup of coffee and a snack or a glass of wine or anything like that. So whatever you want, we have you covered.
Great. Now, Rachel, tell everybody out there who's listening who, if they have something that they'd like to look at or the way they go about applying, and again, knowing how booked this is, but who knows, you never know, that unique person may say, hey, Rachel, this is what I do, and you may think this is great, or anyone who can move up on the list or put their name out there, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way is to send me an email, which you can email me at bilocal@sccmt, as in Scranton Cultural Center Masonic Temple, .org. And that'll come right to me. I am always throughout the year adding people to our database for interested vendors. I usually just ask you to tell me a little bit about your business so that I can make sure it fits within the guidelines of our show, because there are sometimes people who reach out with, you know, varying businesses that just don't fit with what our show is. So I just like to get a little information to make sure you fit, and then I get you added right in. And it won't be long, and I'll be flipping to preparing for our spring show. So the information for that will go out, right. Yeah, the information for that will go out to our returning vendors probably by the end of January. And then for new vendors and the open call, it would be early February.
So there you go. Okay, so everybody, please, if you're interested, this Sunday, December 1st, buy local, the 12th year at the Scranton Cultural Center. $4 to get in benefits the Scranton Cultural Center, and it is from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Sunday, holiday weekend of Thanksgiving. Go on over and get some early Christmas shopping done and support the Cultural Center at the same time. Rachel Frenduti, who is the marketing manager, is the director of that program, and it's just been very successful. So keep up the good work, Rach. We appreciate you coming on and talk about it. And if anyone else wants to call, you can call. I know the box office number, but is that the best place to call, or where could anyone call if they need any more info, Rach?
If they want to call me, my number is 570-346-7369, extension 138.
There you go. All right, Rachel, thank you for joining us. And we will see you real soon. You're welcome, honey. And we have the lovely and talented Miss Maureen McGuigan from Lackawanna County, our wonderful director of arts and culture, will be up next to talk a little bit about the tree lighting ceremony and the event that they do so well on Courthouse Square coming up the next weekend. So we'll be right back with Miss Maureen McGuigan. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie DeMo of Julie DeMo Communications, best said by Jules.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedemo.com.
With us today is Maureen McGuigan, who is the Director of Arts and Culture through the Lackawanna, the great county of Lackawanna. Maureen has been doing a phenomenal job for many years. I love her to pieces. I love her dad, Jack McGuigan, who's one of my, Maureen, don't tell your father, but he's my favorite poet ever, just so he knows that. And he's just one, I just adore him. He's the greatest guy. And Maureen is a talented young lady who's been doing this for a long time, and we love her. And she's here to talk a little bit or a lot of bit about what's going to happen in the weekend of the 5th, 6th, and 7th, or 7th? What's the date, Maureen? Somewhere. I just looked, and then they went out of my head.
It kicks off Fridays, December 6th, so it goes till the 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th of December. It is going to be the Festival of Trees that starts with that starts the weekend off on Friday, along with the winter market that is held on Courthouse Square, which is wonderful. So we are thrilled to have her. She's going to tell us a little bit about what you can expect there and what happens and who's there and all of the fun stuff, the tree lighting, the big tree is lit at Lackawanna County, and all the festivities that go along with that. The Festival of Trees are done by a lot of nonprofits in the area, and they're up for display for people to look at.
Maureen, do they still judge those and who wins and who gets first, second, third, and all those good prizes?
Yeah, we have four categories, And because we're outside now, we have a online voting. You can go to the QR code.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's kind of a fun piece, too. So that's People's Choice Award.
Yep, and that's up for a pretty long time. The trees stay up for how long for the festival?
Oh, yeah, we go right through the Orthodox Christmas, which is, so they'll be up till January 12th because we want to make sure people get to see them, and these organizations put so much work into them. You know, we do like to give them as much time as possible.
And I like that they're there and visible, and, you know, tourists and everyone else, people can see it because it's outside, and it makes a difference. And I remember last year especially, I drove by, and I was thinking, look at how pretty that looks, because they're all so individual, and it just makes a big difference. And I just love that little, just that little extra, I'm a big, Christmas trees are my favorite, Christmas tree, the greatest Christmas symbol. I love it, They're just beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't break out in song. I could have, Maureen, but I kept that.
That's so funny.
I usually do that.
Good.
Julie, you don't know this, but when Lynn, God rest her soul, my Linny was on, she would say, I knew I was setting you up to sing a quick line, which I always would do. But I spared you, Maureen, that. But I do think it's a great thing to have that. And it's participation of nonprofits, and they get together, they do it.
That's what's great about this event. Anyone can do it. So we have a lot of businesses, like the Radisson Park.
Oh, do businesses too.
We had Lackawanna Valley Dermatology.
I love it.
We have an individual. Yeah, that's why I love this event, because it's really a true community event.
Good. I forgot about that.
Well, the more the merrier. So that's what I
that's
think is
right.
cool. You have different groups that maybe you wouldn't think about participating, but they love it. They do whatever. Iron Valley Real Estate is one. Like, it's just interesting. Along with our nonprofits, of course, like Scranton Tomorrow. And
Right. Well, and that's why I was thinking, because when I worked at the Scranton Cultural Center, we did a tree. And I always remember that, like when Joanne Framiati was the executive director, and it was, I remember we went down and did it, and we did participate in it. And that's why I'm thinking nonprofits. But you're right.
Everybody. We do have a lot, but I just wanted to give a shout out to
that's
businesses.
Great.
Corporations and, you know, Marywood is part of it, their graphic arts club. So, it's a really nice mix.
Yeah, I love it. That's wonderful. So, anyway, that part is great. And then it kicks off, Maureen. Give everybody the highlights on Friday the 6th.
It's a big night.
Market,
so we always...
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. The winter market is... first Friday.
Maureen, this is the beauty of live to tape. If it were live, it would be, so we don't cut out, we don't edit. Live to tape, this is what happens. All I'm saying is the winter market kicks off at 5, but then everything is so that to do the vending from the vendors from 5 to 9. But then at 6 o'clock, that's when all the tree lighting happens. But tell everybody what happens in between all of that before, and you have a great lineup of entertainment.
Oh, yeah. So the clock kicks off 5 to 9, there's the Festival of Trees on Biden Street, but our county tree lighting, the big tree, takes place in front of the courthouse on the North Washington side, and that kicks off really at 5 with some fire twirling, and then we have 5:45, the Catholic Choral Society will sing some holiday songs, and then at 6 we light the big tree, which is always nice. And then people can wander over, and a lot of people like to take selfies by the festival trees. We have 30 trees this year. But all during this, we have about 50 vendors, which will be alongside North Washington and then up Biden. And then, you know, I'm excited this year. We have a bigger entertainment tent with music. Will be through the whole weekend. We have a couple theater groups, but we also, you know, have some of our wonderful, talented local musicians. But Groove Brewing is joining us this year, and we'll have some non-alcoholic beverages. So we're trying to keep, and it'll be all decorated really nice. It'll be that kind of cozy holiday decoration. So we're hoping people will shop, take a break, go out and shop again. Also, our downtown's beautiful. There's so many shops, great places to eat. So I really like to think of it as one big holiday market.
Yeah, right. It is.
It is, because you're showcasing those vendors around the square for the whole weekend. The tree is lit and ready to go. And then we also, and we've talked about this, and it was in the paper today, the Scranton Tomorrow program with the Deck the Downtown is involved
the
in all this. So all of the windows and that, it just makes for a beautiful downtown for people to celebrate. It kind of brings back, and I know it'll never be the same, and I say this just because of all of the old, wonderful, big old department stores we had all those years that I was fortunate enough to be part of was the downtown, the Oppenheim, you know, Scranton Dry and the Globe Store and those beautiful windows and all of those things that took place that became like a magical little downtown when you're a little kid and you're looking up and like the Christmas trees. And I know they try to replicate that on the county building at 123 Wyoming Avenue. But I mean, you know, Maureen, the best we can do to make it as special, and and I say the best meaning that those bigger department stores are no longer here, but these wonderful local stores who are downtown who really make a difference and bob and weave into the fabric of what happens in the downtown and how vibrant it is with restaurants and bars and shops and all of this stuff. So the county adding to all of this and bringing that festivity to kick off the season is just a lot of fun. It's a lot of festive way of, you know, saying, hey, here we are. Come on down and shop. Come on down and shop downtown because we have what you need and we have everything here. So I think it's wonderful. And those vendors, tell everybody, you're telling us about the huts this year that are a little bit different. How does that work and what do they look like, Mark?
Oh, yeah, we're really excited about that. As a way to keep the event cost-effective and sustainable, you know, the outdoor tents were great for the first couple of years as we were testing it outside because, you know, the weather in NEPA can be challenging. So, but, you know, they were also expensive, and we thought, wouldn't it be cool to have our own little hut? So, you know, Brian Murray of Reclamation Furnishings, who made them, went to a lot of Christmas markets. And looked like if you have Bryant Park or there's a lot of them, and we fashioned them to be collapsible so we can store them. So there's bigger and,
perfect,
you know, but also good for the vendor. So there's bigger sized ones that you can kind of walk in, and then there's smaller ones that have more of a shelf, but they're all big enough to display items. Sometimes people put like a little table out in front of them too. So I just think they're really beautifully designed. They're white aluminum, and they look really nice when they're all together, and they have that cozy kind of feeling. People decorate them really nice. We tested out a few last year, but this year they'll all be – we'll have a couple smaller tents for the nonprofits and such, but most of them will be these little tents – I mean huts, excuse me. So I think it's going to look really pretty.
I think that's great. So, Maureen, people can do when you are a vendor at the winter market for the county, do you give them, are there regulations? I mean, they can decorate however they want to Christmas it up, or how are there stipulations,
yeah. No, we
regulations?
Love that. Yeah, the only thing is
good.
Because the weather, we can't allow people to put like another just 10 by 10 in front of them just because it could blow away. We've had that happen in the rain at the
summer. Oh my God.
But other than that, we love them to be decorated. We have a contest actually, who decorates their hut the best. So yeah, we love when people do that. And there, some of them last year when we just tested out, a few did a great job. So it's, I think it's going to be pretty. That's what a lot of our vendors who make, you know, they're all artisan type crap, you know, so they have that style. They know how to decorate their booth.
I know.
So yeah,
so
it's good.
Maureen,
I'm not out there because I'm not a decorator. I just enjoy what other people do.
I know, but I think it's great when they and like I said, when you're a creative person, you can do these things, and that's what all of these vendors have, some creativity. Maureen, how do you? We had Rachel on before, which I know you got to listen to some of it from the Scranton Cultural Center talking about the type of vendors that they had, and not everyone in specific, you know, specifically, but there were food vendors, meaning they had, they're selling food for you to buy for gifts and things like that. How do you go, if you have a mix of that as
oh,
well?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're similar. Okay. I mean, that's what's great. There's a lot of these markets popping out, and I love that they're all focused on supporting our local creative businesses. So it's very similar. You know, everybody loves cookies and nuts and things like that for the holidays. And, you know, we have jewelry, we have fine art, woodworking things, you know, crafts. So, yeah, there's definitely holiday treats to bring because everybody likes food at the holidays. But there's just so much different kinds of stuff, you know, hats and scarves. So, yeah, that's definitely our focus as well. We want to support our local creatives because, to your point earlier, it might be that the big businesses are gone, you know, but I think we've replaced it with something just as magical as, you know, we have these small businesses who have brick and mortar downtown, but then we have people that can make things at home and sell them online or do these markets. So there is still that community feeling of shopping. It's just a little different now.
It is different, and that's the reason I was getting to that point. I feel it's been a fortune to be the age that I can remember that and have that opportunity to be in downtown. And then I also, when I got married, I moved to Center City, Philadelphia, and I had and what was going on there, and the big department stores and the little stores and everybody just getting involved with Christmas. It's a wonderful thing, and now, due to, and as Rachel said, and I think this is important, you know, kind of COVID allowed people to hone their craft a little, or to be someone who thought, I don't, and maybe you see this, Maureen, I'm not sure, but, you know, I love to do it. It was just, I tinkered with some stuff and never really did it. But then when COVID happened, I really had more time and I put my energy in, and now I'm able to sell things. Do you see people doing that, Maureen, who have become
COVID,
much more engaged?
There was a statistic how many new businesses of all types started during COVID, because I think, to your point, people had time and they could make things and then think about how to do a business plan. So, yeah, definitely I think that happened in the creative businesses as well. I think when
there you go.
And now that we're kind of pretty much back to normal, you're seeing a lot more vendors. And like I said, these little pop-up markets have become popular. Because people mm-hmm. do like to shop local. I think everyone's looking for authenticity now and to support their local artists and creative vendors.
And,
so I definitely see
that. And what I love most about these type of vendors is that a lot of them are trained, like they're self-trained, they do their own thing, and they create this wonderful folk art. And I think that that's like just so, you know, you make it by hand, you do your own thing. I love that, and I love the creativity and things you never think about doing. So we love that. Maureen, how can anyone get in touch with you if they'd like next year to be a vendor or anything else that they could, that, you know, that from the standpoint of the trees and how to get involved? What's the best way for someone to find out about how they can participate next
year?
Well,
being a vendor, we have a very active Facebook page that's just Lackawanna Markets. If you type that in, I always tell people to follow that, especially if they're interested in being a vendor, because the applications, like I said, go up in late summer, maybe September, you know, so it's good to keep. They can also email us at arts-culture@lackawannacounty.org if they want to get on our mailing list. So we also send out the application, plus you'll get emails on what's coming up. For just general arts things, to find out info about how to attend different things, we have a Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department page. We also have just a Lackawanna County page that's been really good. We have an Instagram account, Lackawanna Arts. So there's a lot. And again, you could just email us directly at arts-culture@lackawannacounty.org or even call me, 570-496-1724. So there's a lot of ways to find us.
And one more thing before we leave the holiday market, give the hours for that, please.
Absolutely. It kicks off first Friday, December 6th, and that will be from 5 to 9, obviously on Courthouse Square. And then we have Saturday, December 7th, 11 to 9, and then Sunday, 11 to 4.
There we go. So come on over, get, you know, put on a nice warm jacket and get over and
exactly.
Do what you can to support the local arts world. We are thrilled. And remember, Lackawanna County and the arts tax and the commitment to the arts that this county has and does is second to none. And Maureen, am I correct that it is the only county in the in the 67 in the state of Pennsylvania that has this tax.
We're very lucky.
And we believe this community, these commissioners in the past, and continue to believe in this arts community, because where you have a vibrant arts community, you have a vibrant community, period. And we love it. So, Maureen, you've done a wonderful job. You continue to. We thank everybody, all the citizens of Lackawanna County who participate in that and who help us with that, and the commissioners for making sure this is the people who are artistic in many ways are able to be helped, and grants and all these wonderful things, and the ability to showcase people in general by putting this on at the county, at the county level, is terrific. So, Maureen, thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
The good work. You're welcome.
You too.
And we will see everybody else. Have a phenomenal holiday. I hope your weekend was great. We hope your Thanksgiving was beautiful, because you're listening to us on Saturday morning. So go on out and shop at the Cultural Center on Sunday, and next weekend at the County Courthouse Square, and have a great, you know, be a great weekend for you. So everyone else, please enjoy. Thanks again so much for listening to us. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.
Bye-bye.